In our introduction there, you've got your outline. In the previous verses, and of course that's verses 13 through 18, the Holy Spirit took the time to explain that no evil and no temptation to do evil can possibly come from God. And all God's people said, amen. Why? Because God is only good. God is only good. Then God's goodness is seen in His, first of all, in verse 17, we see His generosity. Every good gift. God is a giving God. He gives and gives and gives. And He that gave us His own Son, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? Amen. Romans 8:32. So it's seen in His generosity. It's seen also, next line, in His nature. Okay, it is His nature to give. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Why? Because it is God's nature to give and to be generous and to be good. And we see His goodness in His will. We see His goodness, of course, in His word. Amen. And in His purpose, which we found in verse 18. So we come to verse 19, and in view of God's goodness, which you can always tell, there's a great scriptural principle. Whenever you see the word wherefore or therefore, it's connecting you to the previous verse, to the previous chain of thought. So here in verse 19, it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, because God is only good, it should move us, such goodness should move us to action. Okay? God's goodness should move us to action, such as, and we've titled this three-part series here, entitled Doers of the Word. James, many times, is called the Gospel of Action. It is faith that works. Amen? It's not just enough to say, I have faith, show me your faith. Amen? That's what James said. And so we're dealing here with some actions that should take place. And the first action that should take place, Roman numeral number one, is swiftness. Swiftness. It says there in verse 19, my beloved brethren, because of God's goodness, because God never tempts anybody to do evil, let us be swift to hear. Okay? Swift to hear. Why? Well, let's go to these cross references here, and we'll see how far we get tonight. Go to Proverbs. Go to the book of Proverbs, and we'll look at three passages here in Proverbs. The first reason we ought to be swift to hear, we see it in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1. And by the way, it's good to mark your Bible. If you mark your Bible, this is a good time to mark your Bible, going through Bible study, amen, line upon line, precept upon precept. It's how we learn the principles of the Word of God. We see here in Proverbs 5, 1, it says, my son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding. Okay, jump over to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, and then I'll give you the blank. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 31. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Over to Proverbs chapter 22, just a couple pages over, verse number 17. I'm just going to go ahead and read it. It says, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. The first reason we should be swift to hear is to obtain wisdom. Okay? Wisdom. How many of you gray heads, you hoary heads, you seniors, remember when you were young and knew everything? Amen. It's amazing. Dr. Malone used to say this about Midwestern Baptist College, and I could just hear him saying it in that old gruff preacher voice. He said, Midwestern Baptist College is the greatest storehouse of knowledge ever on planet Earth. all knowledge ends at 825 Gulf Drive because freshmen come in knowing everything and seniors leave knowing nothing. Amen? And it's so true. Amen? The older I get, the smarter my parents become. And teachers and mentors. And because, listen, this is the way we are when we're young. When people want to help us and they want to tell us things and they want to give us advice, listen, we need to be swift to hear because we'll obtain wisdom that way. Listen, I've told the story, and I don't have time to tell it, about the man who cut off his finger where I worked. He was in his 60s and he had a stump. And so I made a mental note. Don't do that or else you'll cut off your finger. That's wisdom, amen? You don't have to step in front of a truck to know it'll kill you. The wise man says, I'm not stepping in front of it, amen? Because he's hearing, he's swift to hear. Okay, the second thing, we're in Proverbs, just go back a couple pages. Not only swiftness to hear to obtain wisdom, but swiftness to hear, look at Proverbs 18:13. An important verse, I'll tell you, if you want to learn a verse in Proverbs, this is one. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. So, the number two, why should we be swift to hear? To properly understand a matter. You should be swift to hear. Swift to hear. To listen. So many times, and this is a pastor's lot, that when there's a misunderstanding at the church, nobody wants to hear my side of the story. It just goes that way. And I'll tell you what, I quote this verse every time, Brother Holy, every time. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it is a folly and a shame unto him. Listen, we need to be swift to hear so we can properly understand a matter. Number three, Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. Look at Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer, shall be abomination. Swiftness to hear why? To be effective in prayer. And here it's referring, of course, to the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God. Amen. But it says if you're going to be effective in prayer, you're going to need to listen to what God says. Amen, church? And then lastly, and we won't go to each one of these references, but you know these references here. Number four, Revelation 2:7, 2:17, 2:29, 3:6, 3:22, all say, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Lord saith to the churches. And that is, number four, to make changes. In every one of those instances, right before there, God says there's some things wrong with the church at Ephesus. There's some things wrong with the church at Pergamos. There's some things wrong with the church at Thyatira. And you know what? If you're going to make changes, you're going to need to be listening. Listening. There's people in my life that I have, Brother Howland, that I say to them, if I'm doing something that you think is wrong, let me know. I want to make changes. Amen? It's important, amen? But you got to be willing to listen. Okay? So swiftness to hear. Swiftness to hear. Number two, not only swiftness, but if you go back to James, and we'll stay in James here for the duration, maybe a couple more cross-references, but we see in chapter 1, verse 19, we see, my brethren, be swift to hear, but slow to speak and slow to wrath. So we have not only, first of all, we have swiftness to hear, and then we have slowness. Okay? You say, well, Pastor, that doesn't sound like a lot of action. Doing something slowly is not inaction. Amen? Many times, that's the way the job gets done right once instead of swiftly several times. Amen? Slowness to control, first of all, to control the tongue. Tells us here, be slow to speak. Slow to speak. I forgot to read the passage above there for slowness, but you know it. God gave you two ears and one mouth. So listen twice as much as you speak is still great advice. Amen? That's why God, you know, He gave us 2 ears, so be swift to hear. But slowness to control our tongue. Let every man be slow to speak. Isn't it amazing how just a few misplaced words? The Bible says this, Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stirreth up anger. And that's why God wants us to be slow to speak. Okay? Let me just tell you, sometimes as a pastor, that's difficult. Sometimes people come into me for counsel and we want to talk. And listen, I need to listen to them. Not just think, well, I got all the answers. Because I don't, amen? I need to listen to them and ask God for wisdom to evaluate the problem. But slowness to control the tongue, first of all, and not only to control the tongue, but it says there to control the temper. Slow to speak, slow to wrath. And then you have a prepositional phrase there that modifies slow to wrath. Why should we be slow to wrath? For verse 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Okay? The temper. Galatians 5:20 talks about the works of the flesh. And you know, one of those works is wrath. Anger. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor be put away from you with all evil speaking, with all malice. Just put them away. Get rid of them. Slowness. And isn't it amazing? You can be saved years and years and years and years, and you got rid of all the sins of the flesh, but boy, that temper still likes to rear up, doesn't it? Amen, it does. It sure does. So what does God tell us here? Be slow to speak and slow to wrath. Control your temper by approaching it slowly. You know, Brother Jack Hiles said this, and it's one of the greatest statements I've ever. It's one of those, what I call a margin Bible statement. He said this, don't say what you think when you first think it. How many of us know that's true? I have been at the point where I wanted to say something and the Holy Spirit restrained my tongue, and I was glad I didn't because I'd have made a fool out of myself. Be slow to speak, slow to wrath. Control your temper, control your tongue, control your temper. So slowness, swiftness, number 3, verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. We see, thirdly, setting aside. Setting aside. What does God, in this gospel of action, this book of James, what does He want us to set aside? Well, the first thing He tells us there is all filthiness. All filthiness. You remember when Jesus washed the disciples' feet? It's a tremendous chapter of the Word of God, John chapter 13. And He got down on His knees and He began to wash the disciples' feet. And Peter, and I love Peter. One day maybe I'll do a series on Peter. I just love Peter. He said, Lord, don't wash my feet. Oh, don't do that. And the Lord said, look, Peter, you don't understand this, but you'll understand later. I'm trying to give an example here for a servant. And then Peter said, no, don't. And the Lord said, well, look, if I don't wash your feet, then you're not mine. And Peter said, okay, go ahead, pour it on my head. Amen. As long as it gets some on me. And the Lord said this. He said, you're clean, but you need to be washed. Your feet need to be washed. And you know what that really is a picture of, folks? We are clean. We're saved. We're righteous in the eyes of God through the blood of Christ. But as we walk through this dirty world, our feet still get dirty. We still can get, the opportunity is to still get dirty and soiled. It reminds me of, you know, that little boy or little girl on Sunday morning that's wearing their Sunday best. And you know, they say, Mommy, can I go outside? And you know there's a mud puddle out there with their name on it. As a matter of fact, it's calling them. The puddle's saying, come here, little girl, come here, amen. And then the next thing you know, they're all dirty. That can happen. That can happen to Christians. We can be saved, but, and so God tells us here, put away the filthiness, all filthiness. And we have there on our outline, those things which soil or dirty our new life in Christ. Hey, listen, each one of us should do an evaluation of what we watch on the television. Amen. Amen. We should do an evaluation. Is this, would God be pleased with this? Or maybe should I shut it off? Somebody say amen tonight. Amen. These are things that can soil us. They can soil us. So he tells us, put away all filthiness. And I had to look this up. Amen. Number two, superfluity of naughtiness. Superfluity of naughtiness. And really, the definition is right here underneath. Superfluity is a word for abundance or a multitude of. Okay? The abundance of that which is wicked and depraved. James says, put that away. You're going to walk in Christ. You're going to walk in the fullness of the Spirit. You're going to walk in His power. You're going to have faith that works. You're going to have to put away all filthiness. And you're going to have to put away the abundance of that which is wicked and depraved. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, that is not nearly as hard as you think. When you get saved and you get the Holy Spirit and you get close to God and you see Him as Isaiah did, high and lifted up, amen, you start to see yourself as you should, and that is, I'm a sinful man. And next thing you know, when you get saved, you don't have to tell your friends to go away. They tell you to go away because you're different. You're different. You've got the Holy Ghost inside. And here, the abundance of that which is wicked and depraved. Listen, when I first got saved, it wasn't hard for me to see liquor for what it was. It wasn't hard for me to see pornography for what it was. It was wicked. It was depraved. It was something that did not belong in the life of a child of God. And he says here, get rid of that. Set it aside. Go on for Christ. Lastly, tonight, we see swiftness, we see slowness, we see setting aside. In verse 21, we see subscribing. It says there, subscribing. What do you say? Where do you get that, Pastor? It says, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. So how do we subscribe? Number one, how? We receive with meekness. Humility. A Christian ought never to be haughty. I'm telling you, that whole crowd at Westboro Baptist Church that protests the military funerals and has signs that says God hates fags and all these, it's horrible. It's haughtiness. It's not humility. He says, receive with meekness. How? Number two, what? What do we receive? What do we subscribe to? The engrafted word, the word of God. Amen? The engrafted word. And then not only how, what, why. Because it's able to save your souls. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? The word of God. Amen. We're saved by His word. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 19 tells us that we're not saved with corruptible seed, but by incorruptible we're born again by the word of God. So action here. Doers of the word. Subscribing, setting aside, slowness, and swiftness. Amen. Father, we love You. Thank You so much for Your goodness to us. Lord, thank You for those great hymns of the faith that we sing, follow on. Lord, help us. Help us to have that action that You so want us to have. Lord, thank You for the great week we had last week in our missions conference. Oh, may it continue on.